아가를 올린 이스마엘이 있다게 거리니까 사람들이 원을 알 수 있습니다. 알리지. 나는 원을 알 수 있습니다. Praise in the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the summons of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpets. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise Him the Lord.
Here is the word with you. May God bless us as we keep this word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Brethren,
good morning.
Today, we'll be juggling things about a little bit today. Brother Femi, hospital, we give thanks to God that he's safely home, and so we're thankful for that. Sister Hannah's been unwell as well. There's a lot of things going around at the moment. It's good to see that Laura's back and recovering, so that we're thankful to God. So we kind of juggle things about. Brother Doughton kindly led the service today, and myself is standing in now to present the lesson this morning. I want to welcome everybody here. It's good to have Quen with us, Brother Quen and Sister Joy and family. We welcome you. So for everybody who's visiting today, we welcome you. We're thankful that you're here today. You know, what a blessing. When we saw the children this morning, just an incredible work. It kind of makes you realise what a blessing it is to be a part of a family like this. So many gifts and talents. You see so much going on. I was saying to Brother George this morning, I could never teach children like that. You know, that's it's a gift. And I think my kids would probably say, being brought up in my house with me, you know, I'm probably not the gentle teacher with things like that. But my, you know, just what a blessing. What a blessing to see such a great work being done. We approach the last Sunday, as our brother was sent this morning, of the year. Boys, this year moved quickly. You know, I just can't believe it. I always surprised at the weeks, how fast the weeks go. But one thing for certain, you know, God keeps blessing us over and over. And we see that in this congregation. You know, over the last year, we've been through a lot of things, we've seen a lot of things happen, you know, my own wife's health, you know, watching it going up and down, and so many things happening and changing, and in everybody's lives, each and every one of us will have experienced something or situations, whether it be a physical or domestic or just something practical. But certainly with reference to the spiritual, that is the most important, and for me, to see the spiritual growth is the key, you know, because when we go through life, and I'm off my script now, so my sermon's already going out the window, but I just want to try and talk from my heart a little bit this morning, to kind of let this congregation know that, listen, this is a tough journey. It's not easy. We're going to face trials, we're going to face struggles. You know, one of the greatest joys that I find of being a Christian is this. When we make mistakes, when we make errors, when we make failings and we don't always get things right and we do things that we shouldn't do and speak the way that we shouldn't speak and act sometimes in the ways that we shouldn't act and think the ways that we shouldn't think. You know, being a Christian and being able to live in this time of grace and be able to go before a merciful, loving God and to be able to just let Him realise and know that we are repentant of these things and that we truly want to be the best that we can be for Him. It's peace of mind and a great comfort without a doubt. In the psalm that we read this morning, our brother Luke kindly read for us this morning, we read in Psalm 150. So it's the last psalm that was written by David. This psalm really means something for me. And this is with reference to the time when the Ark of God was taken from the people. And we see how David retrieves the Ark of God. And we see the rejoicing in the psalm. You know, it says, let all things praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute, the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you can almost feel the excitement in David's mindset when this incredible victory was finally overcome by returning the Ark of God to its rightful place. And part of our Christian life is about praising God in everything that we do. But listen, David didn't always get it right. He made a lot of mistakes in his life. He made a lot of errors in his life. And even with reference to the Ark of God, there were mistakes that had been made, created by him, failings that have happened because of him. And yet, when you get things right for God, there's a reason why we can praise him. Because when we go through this life and we make our mistakes, when we go through this life and we make our errors, and we can all look back, including myself, listen, I can write a book of things that I've got wrong, and things that maybe I've done, or things that maybe I've said, or things that maybe I haven't done. And all of these things in our lives, despite the failings, we look at the successes and be able to praise God. We can even praise God in our failings, because in our failings, we learn lessons, and we mature, and we grow. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and this is the account of the Ark of God being returned back to its rightful place. That is 2 Samuel chapter 6. I had to smile this morning when the kids were singing the books of the Bible. I can always remember, listen, as Brother Doughton rightly said, myself as well, yeah, I can remember times when I'd sit there singing in my mind the books of the Bible to get to the passage that I needed when they called it out. What a great tool. But 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see the situation here about getting things right in your life and getting things wrong in your life. And we see how David is planning to go and return the ark back to its rightful place. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 6, again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And this is the Ark of God that David wanted to return back to his rightful place. And so David gets his choicest men, and away they go, and they go to fetch the Ark of God, and they get down to the Ark of God, and they start preparing to return it back. And here we see in the next verse then, and we go into verse 3, so they set the Ark of God on a new cart, not an old one, on a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord with all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. They get the Ark of God, they place it on a cart, and two men are there, are driving the cart forward, carrying the Ark of God, and David and the men are rejoicing and praising their mighty God and giving thanks to him. Little did they know, well, the way that they was going about this was wrong. They weren't getting things right. They weren't doing things according to the will of God. This was not the way to move the Ark of God. This was not in teaching. This was not in their understanding. Nevertheless, they took it upon themselves to do it their way. And so they go and do it their way, and they start rejoicing. Have you been there? You know, through the year when you're kind of rejoicing and praising God, forgetting the fact that we're not always getting things right. We're making mistakes in our lives, mistakes in our homes, mistakes in our families, mistakes in the lives that we are living. And we're going about our ways and we're just going ahead and doing it our way. And what do? We give thanks and praise and glory to God, and we're praising Him all the while. And this was very much what had happened. But it says that when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen had stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And you see here, the problem is that they didn't quite get it right for God. They were doing it their own way. There was a specific way in which the ark of God was to be carried. It was not to be dealt with by any specific people, anybody who freely thought it was their way. God had set out a way in which this was to be transported. And that the Levites, and there were certain ways in which God had set out for the ark of God to be moved. So here they are praising God, worshipping God, carrying the ark on a carriage that it shouldn't have been, being pulled by oxen. And then it goes to fall, and Uzzah reaches out his hand to stop it falling. I'm going to give God a hand here. The ark of God is falling. I'm not supposed to touch it, but I'm going to reach out and touch it just to help God, because I don't want this ark to fall. And because of that, he was struck dead. It says he was struck dead right next to the ark. And I want to draw your attention to the fact that sometimes in our lives we can feel we're close enough to God. And yet what we don't realise is the position we are in might not be right. It might not be the right place. Don't be surprised when the Bible says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." We can stand by what we think is right, and we can do what we think is right, and we can live the way that we think is right. But unless it is within accordance with the will of God, don't be surprised on the last day when the Lord says, "What did you do? What a mess you made." You know, here is also, it says he was struck down dead beside, right where the ark was. He lost his life there and then, and David was furious. A minute ago, he was praising God. He was praising God, doing it his way, carrying the ark in his way, returning it in his way, but praising God, giving glory to God and praising God. We can, if we're not careful, find ourselves praising God every Sunday in this building. And praising God when we're singing in our homes. But listen, we have to have our rights right with Him. We have to be doing things according to His will. Otherwise, you know, we're praising God, but it's a false praise. Because if we're not right with God, how can we be the people that God wants us to be? And so here we see Uzzah is struck down dead. He irreverently touched the ark, which he shouldn't have touched. He thought he was doing the right thing. He died right next to the ark of which he was trying to protect. And David, his praise changed. His shouting, his praising, his giving honour and glory to God all changed. And what he did was he turned around and started to be angry with God. And sometimes that happens in our life. We think we've got it right, and when somebody points out that you've got it wrong, our joy turns from joy to anger. The people that we should be changes, our character changes, our Christian attitude and motive changes because we feel that we have been told something that we're not happy with. But God wants His people to follow Him in accordance with His word. He wants His people to be right with Him. And so David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, "How? How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. 3 months. 1 minute he's fetching the ark of God and praising God and giving glory. the next minute it's discovered to him that the way they're doing it is irrelevant, is irreverent to God, and is sinful to God, and the man is struck down dead, and David has taken offence at that, and David says, you can leave the ark here, I don't want it, I'm going home. And away he goes, and he puts aside the work of God. Sometimes in our lives, brethren, we will come across things that we've got to change in our lives. We either change these things in our lives, or we just put everything down and go our own way. One way or the other, we have to get it right for God. We have to get it right for God. And so David was so annoyed and so angry that there is this man who is Uzzah who's been struck dead, that he leaves the ark of God at Obed-Edom's house and he goes home. And he leaves the ark. Stops God's work. Stops doing the will of God. Because the way he was doing was irreverent. And God had disciplined and made it a discipline through the life of a man. And consequently David rejected the work of God and went home and left the ark there at Obed-Edom's house. Now it was told the king, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because the ark of God. And so what had happened, David goes home, the ark stays at Obed-Edom's house, and Obed-Edom is now in the possession of the ark of God on his land. And the Lord, as Obed-Edom is protecting the ark of God, the Lord is blessing Obed-Edom, his crops, his cattle, his wealth, his money, his life. Everything is going well with him. You know, sometimes in our lives we feel like things aren't always going the way that we would like. But you know, when God is in your life, the blessings are incredible. I'm yet to find a Christian who doesn't say to me when I ask them that when Jesus came into their lives, he changed everything. It didn't mean you became wealthy. It didn't mean you had a big house or a big car, but boy, your life is transformed. Your life, you see, Obed-Edom must have been rejoicing. He must have been over the moon with the way that God was blessing his life in this physical form. Of course, we are blessed spiritually. We are blessed through a knowledge of life. We are blessed through an understanding that when we go through trials, that God will get us through them. We are blessed to know that we are encouraged by the power of God who dwells in our lives when we give our lives to Christ. And so as the house of Obed-Edom was being blessed, so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom. In other words, David saw that Obed-Edom's blessings were being given. And David thought to himself, what a fool I've been. What a mistake I have made. I go to fetch the ark of God. He doesn't go my way. I leave it and go home. And the wake-up call was when he discovered that the blessings are found when you're in the presence of God. And Obed-Edom's example of that was shown through his blessings that he received. So David went back. He went back. He's going to get the ark of God. And he is going to return it. And in verse 13 he says, and so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces. What this tells us is this. David says, I'm going to go back for the ark of God, but this time I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. And so he goes back with the right people, with the right motive, with the right attitude, with the right focus. And they take six steps. Six paces with the ark of God. And then he says this. It says, the Lord, they took six paces, that he sacrificed an oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. You see, rejoicing at getting things right, rejoicing in doing things right for God, that is what we're about. Church, you see this example. This example is an example of a person who realized that true rejoicing is shown when you get it right for God. Through our trials, through our difficulties, through our struggles, through whatever you've been through in this last year, you know, we face, God willing, a new year. If He wills us that, we don't even know whether we're going to reach tomorrow. But one thing is certain, when we can get things right for God, when we can get our worship right, when we can get ourselves right, our spiritual well-being, you know, we've been talking about this with the prophets, and well, one of the downfalls is with the people, they just would not listen. They would not change. They would not repent. They would not make a difference in their lives to get things right with God. Well, David saw the failings, and those failings were simply that he just didn't follow God's word. He followed his own heart. But this next time he goes along, he gets the ark of God, and he rejoices and repents and turns his life around. And this transformation takes place in such a way. And my lesson is completely gone with reference to what I was going to talk about. But I kind of felt this was on my heart, and I wanted to share this because I think it's important for each one of us to understand. Listen, this journey is a tough one. One of the blessings that we have, brethren, is this: we have each other. We have each other. We cannot do this alone. Trying to get things right for God is not an easy task. We come rejoicing together. We come giving praises together. But we want to get things right for God. The Apostle Paul frequently expressed his deep care and concern for many people, but certainly the people he was writing to, whenever he wrote to people. And he talked about encouragement. I'm just going to give a couple of passages before we move. You know, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. You know, that's what we need, to be encouraging each other on this journey that we are on. You know, like he was going, getting the ark of God, we've got this journey that we are on. And this journey is a journey where we need each other. We need to be there for each other, to give each other the strength, to give each other the support that we need. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says what? It says exhort. Exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That is the journey that we are on. That is the path that we are treading. You know, this life is a delicate journey. This path is not easy. And each one of us have our own challenges. But the biggest challenge we have is the devil. He's the biggest challenge that we have. And what we need to do is to be able to stand strong together in order to be able to overcome and get through all the things that he places before us. And in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18 says, therefore comfort one another with these words. This idea of comfort and this idea of exhorting one another, as we read, is about this unity that we have. And I always picture David. I always picture him the first time. I imagine the look on his face. There he is rejoicing and just singing and dancing, and everybody's seeing all of this. And then he makes a mistake, and everything is taken from him. His old energy is gone. His own encouragement is gone. And he sadly walks away and turns his back on the task that he had to bring the ark of God back. The rejoicing came, the true rejoicing came, when he got it right with God. That is the blessing that we have, brethren, for being a part of this congregation, to be able to support each other. And the last year has been a blessing in so many ways. You know, we've seen so many things, haven't we? Come and go, and situations and problems, and you've been through your own challenges, and you may be going through them right now. I'm sure you are. We all are. But one thing is for certain, listen, we are on a journey to an eternal salvation. There's no university, there's no college, There's no career, there's no status, and there's not a single penny that will get you into heaven. Not one. The way we get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. And through living this life, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, so that the things that we do give honour and glory to Him. Let us praise God. Let us rejoice. Let us strive to do everything in His will. Let's do it according to His will. So that when we give that praise is justified. Because we are walking in a way that is righteous and right before Him. Let's have an invitation. Shall we stand?